Hey, Tiki, sounds like we correctly predicted Luis Severino as a trade target back in December. Here's us on December 5th talking about Severino siding with the A's. Take a listen.
Over 3 years making $10 million more than we just paid you. Best of luck.
Well, look at who he signed with. I mean, he signed with the A's.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The Mets could trade for him again in July.
Well,
that's a great point.
In theory, they could.
Thank you, Tiki. So maybe the Mets will trade for Luis Severino
in
July.
It was like a weird signing at the time. It made no sense. Almost like Luis Severino was like, all right, here's what I'm going to do, David and Steve. I'm going to take a deal elsewhere. I'm just going to go, like, have fun on the West Coast for a little bit. And then when you're ready, bring me back.
Yeah, just take me back when you need me.
We cool? Yeah, all right, good.
And where the Mets would really look smart is if they get the A's to pick up even a dollar of that contract.
Right.
So they don't actually give the full value of what Severino got from the A's, and then they bring him back, and he's in the back end of the rotation. I do want to play you something. This is from last week. I was listening to the Met game, watching the Met game on SNY, of course, and randomly Gary Cohen asked an interesting question to Steve Gelbs. And I started thinking about it. I knew the answer. It's a very easy answer. But Sean Morash would struggle with this question. And I'm curious how he's going to handle it. So here's Gary Cohen asking the question to Steve Gelbs on SNY. Steve's answer, and then we'll see what Sean thinks about it.
It's been 31 years for the Rangers, 39 years for the Mets. Who wins the championship first?
You're looking at him. You're looking at him.
You? Steve Gelbs?
It's going to be the Mets. It is going to be the Mets. I am. You're not coming to me at a good time with the Rangers right now.
Now, I get Steve works for SNY, so it's easy to think, he's going to say the Mets. I think he was being honest. I think he's a Ranger fan who is beaten up. And for me, like just as an IBO or an IHO, of course it's the Mets. Mm-hmm. Like, how the hell could it be the Rangers? But knowing Sean and the way he rationalizes, I wasn't sure what he would say. So do you agree with Steve Gelbs? Or do you want to differ on that opinion on who's winning a championship first, the Mets or the Rangers?
I don't like answering this question at all. It's the Mets.
Wow, look at you.
It's the Mets.
I'm proud of you.
Look, card subject to change within 2 weeks if I actually... I only say that to say I have no trust in the Rangers general manager direction right now after everything, and I have no idea what direction. Is this team punting on this year? Is this team going all in this year? If they're punting, it makes no sense on last year. At least the Mets right now, I could sit here in June, despite the flaws I think they have, and at least see the reason for hope and the direction and, cover your ears, Knicks fans, the plan. The Rangers right now, as I sit here today, I have no idea what the plan is. Again, 2 weeks could be rectified and all of the pom-poms out. But as I sit here today, I feel like I'm going to regret for a very long time what happened to the Rangers now 2 seasons ago.
They missed an opportunity.
They missed an opportunity where the Mets, I don't think, have quite gotten to that point where I feel like they've missed that opportunity.
Not yet. That may happen.
Sure.
Like, here's the thing about sports. We say it all the time. When you get close, and the Rangers got close,
right.
The Mets got close, the Yankees got close, the Knicks got close, you never know when you're going to get close again. But the reason I played that clip was not only to get Sean to say the New York Mets. It was an excuse to bring up the fact that tonight the New York Islanders are picking number one overall. They're going to take this defenseman, Matthew Schaefer, and they're trying, and I think they're equipped to do this, to trade back into the top 10 to get, James Higgins is his name?
The kid from Long Island. And they're even more equipped now after the trade they just pulled off.
So they did trade Noah Dobson.
Correct.
And the story behind the Noah Dobson thing is that they could have extended him last year, and they didn't. Lou Lamoriello just wasn't aggressive in trying to extend him. And now Noah Dobson is being what some call a pig.
Right.
He's asking for a lot.
He's getting his deal. 8 years, $9.5 million per.
And the Islanders weren't going to give that to him.
Right.
So the Islanders said, all right, let's trade him. Now, where is he going? Montreal or Columbus?
He is going to Montreal for picks, I believe, 16 and 17. Montreal possesses
both. So are they going to try to use 16 and 17 now to get into the top 10 and draft the Long Island kid, James Higgins?
That is the plan, Evan. But as we learned 2 days ago with the Brooklyn Nets, you can have as many first-round picks as you want. It takes two to tango on getting that partner to trade up to make that deal happen. But that appears to be the Islander plan.
Let me just differentiate a few things between the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Islanders. The Islanders are trying to trade up to get another pick in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
They're already picking number one. So if the Nets were getting Cooper Flagg and, we're trying to get back in the top 10 again,
it's all
that's
gravy.
Far different.
It's all gravy.
I would say it's all gravy. Like, here's the thing. These are kids I don't know. Like, the only thing I know about James Higgins is that he's a Long Island kid, but this Matthew Schaefer, a defenseman, turned out over the last few weeks to be, like, the consensus number one overall pick. And hopefully he's a guy who's on this team for the next 15 years.
And at that position, with being a star, why pay Dobson that money when Schaefer essentially will be Noah Dobson for a bad term, but on steroids?
So, who's got a better chance to win a championship? The New York Rangers or the New York Islanders?
The New York Rangers.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean, oh, come
That's
on?
That's just being a fanboy.
No. Do you want to do the hockey right now? You want to do the hockey?
I just did the hockey.
I'll give you more hockey.
Giving the Islander fans some love. We got the number one overall pick. We're trading back into the top 10.
Look, you want people to get excited about an NHL draft that they didn't even know was happening tonight.
In L.A. Look, Islander fans should be pumped up about tonight. Look, you have the number one pick in the draft and you're trying to trade in. I get all of that. But in terms of actually being like the next equipped to win a championship, the Rangers still have pieces in place and a goaltender locked up long term where they, again, if they hit on the actual plan, more on that in 2 weeks, it's there. The Islanders still have to eventually attract some free agents to sign with them, which is very
difficult. Connor McDavid's coming to TBS next year.
That was the other thing I was going to tell you. That's the other thing, why the reason why the Rangers are closer.
Connor McDavid's not going to the Rangers. He's going to the Islanders. You know this.
Evan, I know you already look like a dork one night with the bucket hat. Don't really? Look like a dork again here.
The truth is, Connor McDavid's not going to either team.
He's going to Rangers.
The difference is, Ranger fans will fantasize about getting him.
Oh.
Islander fans already know we're not, but you guys will fantasize about it, and you're not getting him either way.
We've already gotten a couple Edmonton stars of the past that have done well.
That
wonderful
was
things.
30 years ago!
The Rangers continuously get stars in here. It's going to be Connor McDavid.
So let's do an update right now. It's very important to do this, especially at the end of the six-month period, right? Mm-hmm. We're halfway through the 2025 season. Let us update ourselves on local teams closest to a world championship.
Okay.
Because we've already established from Sean as a Rangers show that the Mets are ahead of the New York Rangers.
Okay.
So let's start at the bottom because I think that's easier. Obviously, the team furthest away is the Brooklyn Nets. We have that one on lock.
The Nets still in the league.
Everybody could shut up. Yes. We got this.
I actually think
with your college team.
I actually think it's the Jets.
The hapless Nets.
It's not the Jets.
I kind of do because I have no idea what the Jets are doing at quarterback. I can make the case with the Brooklyn Nets that they hit on all these European guys and they're the Spurs.
Okay. Again,
not this season.
No. Whoa. I'm just talking about how long I expect both of these teams to get very good.
Sean, sit this one out.
What do you mean?
Because you're being biased.
Because in football, you can get lucky.
Yes.
I think basketball's trending that way.
And they do have a plan. Like, I know Justin Fields is probably not going to be a franchise quarterback, but he's young. He's talented. They have a young coaching staff. They got talent on defense. Like, I'm not picking the Jets to win a Super Bowl, and I haven't even gotten to where I put the Jets on this list. But it is insulting to anyone with a brain to say the Jets are behind the Brooklyn Nets.
The hapless Nets.
And the Nets are last.
Did Sean just say if they hit all on these European players, they'll be the Spurs? Where's Tim Duncan? Is he missing?
Don't engage. It's a stupid point.
Right.
So I'm a Net fan.
Where's the 7-footer that can shoot from the elbow?
All right. Nah, it's dumb.
Nonstop.
I'm just going to finish this. I'm not telling you the Nets are winning a championship. I'm saying I think those two teams are the furthest
you
away.
You think the Jets are behind the Nets?
I do. I think they've... Now, I like Aaron Glenn,
defense is too... I can't say that.
But think about what it takes to win a Super Bowl.
Think about what it takes to think about
we're not talking about becoming relevant and making the playoffs.
Think about what it takes to win an NBA championship.
I understand that.
I don't think we should engage in this. This is such a stupid argument.
All right, fine.
Turn his mic off.
Yeah, turn his mic off, Tommy. Right. He's been disqualified.
You got it.
As soon as you make an outlandish point in this discussion, you get disqualified.
In the NBA, you got to have a star. That's are too young and they don't have a star.
No, then that's a last.
Holy crap, you got to have a quarterback to win a championship. The Jets don't have one.
Not necessarily.
Did you hear?
Not necessarily.
Did you hear, Tiki? He said your mic's off.
Yeah.
You're disqualified.
Actually, that's Tommy's fault. Don't you control his mic?
I do, but he pulled a switcheroo on me.
They're so stupid. He quit pitch me. Furthest away. Why we arguing this? Go on.
Well, I haven't agreed to that yet.
All right, Brooklyn, bottom.
Brooklyn's bottom. I don't know what to do with the Rangers, honestly, because I'm being fair about the hockey stuff. Like, I don't know. So, can we put the Rangers and the Islanders almost to the side in this one?
And the Devils.
Well, I think the Devils are closer than those two.
Oh, I thought we were just putting hockey in the corner.
They're not close on the Rangers, and they're neither of them in the top three.
Let's just put that aside then, because I you're wrong, but I don't have, and neither does Tiki, the bandwidth to argue this. So let's go to the football, the baseball, and obviously the Knicks.
Okay.
I think clearly now we've just got to decide between the Jets and the Giants, because they are the next two that are furthest away.
Yeah.
And obviously Sean is going to pollute this conversation.
I would say Jets are below the Giants simply because of the quarterback.
Russell Wilson?
Just because he's got you have to respect the fact that he has been a champion.
Could you please play the drop where he says he's washed, Tommy?
Doesn't matter that he's washed.
But
he's been a champion before. And more importantly, he's a leader in that locker room right now, whether or not he's good or not. I think Russell Wilson's washed.
Thank you,
Tommy. We don't have any idea I have no idea what Justin Fields is demeanor, what his leadership, what his on-field ability. I have no idea.
I agree with that.
They
but
are being
but I want to use
so,
that
like. Obscure.
But can I use that as a positive? Because you're right. Like, there is a lot of unknown around
but
Justin Fields.
I also know what has preceded him.
Who? Justin?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think with Justin Fields, there's still that, and I admit it's small. That's why I'm not, like, putting the Jets in the top three in this discussion. We're literally right now framing it between the Jets and the Giants after we did Jets and Nets and Sean embarrassed himself, that there's still the unknown of Justin Fields. He's right. Still young enough and talented enough that, while it's unlikely, there's a chance he blossoms into what the Bears thought he could be or what some of us thought he could be coming out of Ohio State. Like, Russell right. Wilson's on the back end, so while he's had a great career, no question about it, and it's very unlikely Justin Fields will ever accomplish what Russell Wilson has done, I would actually take the unknown that you bring up with Fields
right.
and say I use that to my advantage because the unknown could actually be good. So that's why I kind of lean. I think it's close between the Jets and Giants, but I give the Jets like a slight edge. And I think the unknown of Aaron Glenn, too. Like, what if he's the next great head coach?
But can we
that's
just...
A we don't lot of, know.
That's too many what ifs.
Can but just, but what ifs about... Why are you in this now? You got disqualified.
No, I'm not disqualified because I think it's going to help my disqualification. You're saying closest to a championship. Are we arguing who we think can win a championship this year?
Closest to a championship.
Because obviously, I don't think any of us think the Jets and Giants are winning one this year.
Right. Closest, it almost doesn't matter.
So to me, when we're arguing that, I think it has to be the Giants based on the...
Why does it have to be the Giants?
Can I finish?
Other than you being the shill that said
because,
the Nets are closer than the Jets.
It goes back to my Nets-Jets point, which wasn't as idiotic if you listen to me for one more goddamn second.
But you ruined it. I'm sorry.
No,
you
didn't.
It.
It's closest to a championship.
Tommy, don't you think
NFL,
he ruined it?
In the NFL, it's very hard
he
not to have a quarterback.
Everything.
I don't think any of these teams are winning a championship this year. My point on the Jets and why it relates to the Giants at least threw a dart at Jackson Dart. That's why I think Russell Wilson's irrelevant to this
Let's
conversation.
Let's go back to how you screwed this up. Can I tell you how you screwed this
okay.
up?
Okay.
I'm going to give you advice for the future. It works in life as well. Mm. When I said the Nets are furthest away,
sure. Mm-hmm.
What you should have done is say,
sure.
I kind of disagree with Evan, but I'm going to shore him because the Giants are my baby.
Save
and when
bullets.
We get into the Giant-Jet debate that was inevitably going to happen, let me drop those bombs. You wasted it on something that offended my sensibilities.
Okay.
I love my sports teams. I'm also not a complete shill.
The Nets still in the league?
The Nets suck. They are a rudderless, disgusting organization who should fire Sean Marks today, go to Toronto, get on their hands and knees, and beg Masai Ujiri to go from F Brooklyn to save Brooklyn.
The hapless Nets.
So you pushed the wrong button with me. You argued that decrepit franchise that I give money to, and I love them, and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it's old takes exposed. You're actually arguing that mess, that decrepit mess, is worse than the Jets that are actually giving me a semblance of hope. You embarrassed yourself today.
No, I didn't.
You disgraced yourself today.
No, I didn't.
And you deeply offended me. And that's why Tommy's right. Tommy's been right on today.
No, he hasn't.
You should have saved your bullets for what mattered.
Yeah.
No,
I
hate him.
No.
I can see.
I think the Nets suck too.
Do you?
I would take Masai over here in a second. I think they suck too. My point on this was simple. I was trying to actually look at this very objectively and go closest to a championship. Most of these teams aren't anywhere close. The Jets, to me, are a year away from us even being able to discuss what's up. The Nets have at least started their rebuild by taking these guys. Who knows?
All right.
You just gave credence to the unknown of Justin Fields. I gave credence to the unknown of a bunch of European guys.
Here's what I know.
The Jets are taking a quarterback next year. We know who that is. The Giants, I didn't even think it was the discussion between the Giants and Jets because they have Jackson Dart, period.
Here's what I know. I think the Jet-Giant thing, we need to put away.
Yeah.
Because, with all due respect to all of you, including myself, we clearly have biases,
okay? And we all suck!
We all suck, and the Vegas odds already tell us the Jets have a better shot than the Giants, so we should just accept that and move on. But I'm willing to table this until a later date. Until we actually see Aaron Glenn put a headset on, till we actually see whatever the hell your quarterback's name is,
right.
Whether it's Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston or whoever, to actually suit up. We will have that at a later date. So let's get to what matters. Let's get to the sexy three.
All right, let's go.
Let's get to the big three. We have the New York Yankees, we have the New York Knicks, and we have the New York Mets. And I'm going to put my IBO hat on, and I'm going to tell you, for the very first time in my lifetime,
say it louder,
the team that is closest to a world's championship.
So you're starting at the top as opposed to the bottom.
Yeah, because we've already diagnosed the big three.
Stand up when you say
the
it.
The team that is closest to a world's championship is clearly the New York Knicks.
Let's go.
They don't have a coach, Evan.
Let's go. Coach. Come on. It's the NBA.
Coach.
Honestly, Sean, that's the only thing that keeps me from agreeing with him. I swear to you.
Yeah, like we don't know what they're
coaching. Because I want to agree with you. If it's, it turns out to be whoever it is, great coach, Jenkins, whoever. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's like, oh, that guy's, I can see it. I can see the plan. It's going to fit together. He's going to get these guys doing X, Y, and Z. Yes, that is the perfect hire. The Knicks are closest. But the fact that they don't have a coach right now, I can't say that.
Eh, overrated.
It's not overrated. What the hell are you talking about?
Semantics.
You know why? You know why it's overrated, Teak? They're going to hire a coach. Now, I don't know when it's going to happen.
Yes, but who or, they hire.
I get
if
it.
If they hire, what's his name, Bryant. Then
Johnny Bryant.
Johnny Bryant, then I can't agree with that.
James Borrego's not going to pump you up?
No.
Why?
He's not, because he's been an assistant. He's never been a head coach.
Yes, he has. No, you're wrong about that. James has coached in the NBA.
Can I come at this from a different angle?
Well, how long did he coach before he was fired?
A couple of years. I blame Tommy for all of this.
2 years fired. Now I have to believe that he's going to lead the Knicks to a championship.
I'm just saying he's coached before. I thought Tiki, who is the boss of this show, people think it's me, it's BS, it's Tiki, he's the decider.
Yeah, 100%.
Tiki said 7 minutes ago, shut Sean's mic off. And he keeps chiming in.
Not happening, because you're driving me nuts today now, and I thought we have a nice little Friday after a date at the Cadillac Club. You want me to get Peggy in here to sit in your chair? I'll do that.
Well, before you finish, the only thing I will say, and then you could scream and yell, is that with the Knicks, you point out their unknown, which is the head coach. But when you knock the Jets or pump up the Giants, you bring up an unknown in Jackson Dart. Your basketball team, which is a bunch of unknowns, you look to the side when those are unknowns, but the Knicks unknown, you point it out.
No, you're not listening to me.
No, well, I am listening to you, and you're being hypocritical. What else is new, though?
Okay. The Jets hired a coach I believe in. They don't have a quarterback. The Giants.
What do you
have
mean?
No,
you don't know if they have a quarterback or not. And don't make me defend the Jets. But you don't know. I want to see Jackson Dart be good. I have no idea. You don't even like Jackson Dart. You crushed the pick, and now all of a sudden you think he's better than Justin Fields. And I don't even like Fields. I don't think he can even throw.
Tom is being very reasonable. No, I'm trying to be fair to both football teams here. I said something the other day. I know it bothered Tommy, but he's taking it to heart, and I respect it. I said, Tommy's not really an IBO. He's not really an IFO. He's being an extraordinarily fair IFO right now with what he just said, which is there is unknown with Justin Fields, of course.
Absolutely.
But there is actually less unknowns with him than there is with your Russell Wilson,
right,
but your young quarterback that you just drafted, and you are being hypocritical.
Get off the football teams. They suck. The Giants have a coach of the year and at least have identified a quarterback. The Jets have an unknown coach and don't have a quarterback.
What's his record since he won coach of the year?
Oh, my God. The team now has a quarterback. I'm not even. They're not. The argument is close. It's not close. Forget the football teams. They all stink right now. I want to get back to this. Okay, picked the Knicks one, and I think this is a fine debate.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for approving.
The top end is a fine debate. The bottom is banal.
But I want to tackle this from this avenue. Okay, so you got to the Knicks. My question would be, why did you not go with the Yankees? Because I think this is going to lead into the Knicks.
Why did I not go with the Yankees? The Yankees were very close. I have to be honest with you. I battled in my head between the Yankees and the Knicks.
So that means Knicks, Yankees, Mets.
Yeah, I'd put the Mets third. I love my teams. I do. And I'm just being honest. I'm calling it like it is. And I think these rankings show that even when I put the Jets ahead of the Giants, you can't say I'm being biased when I put the Nets last and I put the Mets behind the Yankees and Knicks. I'm doing my best to call it like it is. But I do want to answer your question because it's a good one. I think the randomness of the MLB playoffs, which we have seen over the years, causes me to wonder if the Yankees are going to do it again. They got there last year. They got to a World Series. I'm not sure they're as good. I may be wrong about the American League. Like, the Detroit Tigers, to Tiki's point, may be better than I thought.
Right.
Like the
Houston, they don't seem to have any fall off ever.
Right. The Houston Astros, I think a lot of us kind of buried them maybe too quickly as, oh, they're not the same. And while they're different, they're good.
Right.
And obviously, I believed in the Blue Jays at the beginning of the season. So it's not a knock on the Yankees. It's just I look at the NBA's Eastern Conference, and I see the road continuing to be paved in a much cleaner route than the route the Yankees are going to have to go through to get through the American League playoffs. So it was close, but I do lean towards the Knicks. Right, is that an acceptable answer?
It is, because it's better than where I thought you were going to go, which I thought was going to play right into it. I thought you were going to still stick with the American League, they probably should get through. I don't trust that they're going to be good enough to beat these National League teams, which is
I wouldn't do that, because it's only one series.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that.
And I actually am giving respect to the NBA. I think the NBA has actually gotten more to that randomness level now. I think we've seen the parity come through.
Definitely is. You've seen it for eight straight years.
And I think what my problem is, and this isn't even like an anti-Knick thing, is I don't trust that once the Knicks hire a head coach and they climb that mountain, and again, it's the randomness, I don't think they're going to be good enough to beat the best of the West yet either. So that's what keeps me where, you know, the Yankees at least you saw a match up with the Dodgers last year. I know it's a different team, and that kind of broke the tie for me. Is that it's one thing to get to the World Series of the Yankees.
So it was close.
It was close.
Okay, then why are you offended? Then why are you so pissed off?
I'm actually not pissed off about this. I was just curious on why, because I thought I was going to catch you in. Well, you know, if they get there, they're not going to beat the
Tiki,
Dodgers National
League. Who's the closest to a championship? Knicks, Mets, Yankees.
I think it's the Knicks.
You think it's the Knicks, too?
I do.
Wow.
But the only thing that's keeping me from fully saying the Knicks is the fact they don't have a coach.
Right? Coach,
I'm being honest.
It's a big deal.
So for me, it's actually the Yankees, but it will be the Knicks.
Hey, really?
Because I trust that they're going to hire the right coach.
Right.
But if they don't, we're going to kill them for it.
That's true. Real quick, when we come back, we'll get to your phone calls. People have waited. We do appreciate that. 888-808-1019. And on this coach thing, we broached this yesterday, but we never all agreed on a firm answer, which is, what is the date where the Knicks have to hire a head coach? Mm. Like, I know some people think it was yesterday. Give me a break. At what point do even I say, all right, they got to hire a head coach? At what point does Tiki say, all right, enough's enough? I gave this a lot of thought. A lot of thought. Wanted to be fair. I have kind of defended the Knicks. I have kind of deflected them by saying, come on, why are we in such a rush to hire a head coach? Who cares that free agency is starting? Who cares that there was a draft? Who cares about the summer league? It's not a big deal. Just make sure you hire the right guy. There doesn't need to be a rush. And I've said that consistently, but it is fair to say, all right, Ev, when's the drop dead date? So I thought about this last night. I gave it a lot of thought, did a little mathematical equation. I thought about when the season starts, even though we don't know exactly when the Knicks season's going to start. I thought about training camp. I thought about, yes, this part of the offseason process, the draft, which they've already missed, the free agency period, which they will likely miss because it technically begins in 3 days, even though really you got to wait a week, and, of course, the summer league. I believe that the drop-dead time where even I would raise my hand and say, all right, what the hell is going on, is July 18th. That's my day. The day that David Wright gets his number 5 retired.
Why the 18th?
I needed to find a date, and I didn't want it to be while I was still here because I'm going on vacation. So I picked a date.
In the middle of your vacation?
Upon my return, I'm coming back. But no, in all seriousness, it's after the summer league. It's after it wraps up. You've got time to meet and really think this over.
Yeah, but do you really don't want to coach when the summer league is going on?
I mean, honestly. So Pacum Dottier can be coached by or talked to by the new head coach? Like, are we really going to make a big deal out of that?
I mean, because isn't that part of the process? Is that you need the new head coach to develop the young players?
Yeah, the NBA level once the season starts.
So he's not doing it.
Well, he's not doing it, but it's not because it's ideal. You're doing it because you're still searching for the right head coach. And maybe even giving Jason Kidd time to do his snake things to get out of what's going on in Dallas. So I'm just trying to tell you a date where I'd say, okay, this is a little weird. Can they get this thing done? And I would say July 18th is the time. What's your date?
It's way before that, so but not significantly.
Today?
I would say.
Oh, yeah, June 27th?
No. But you're close. I'm saying like a week and a half, so 10 days. So let's say July. What is July 4th on a Friday? So
yes.
Let's say July 6th.
July 6th. Okay. And that's when you say, all right, what the hell is going on? Fair.
Yes.
I'm going with July 18th. Tommy, are you sticking with opening night? Is that really something you're going to stick with?
I am, but I'm flexible. I can go like 10 days before.
So you're not going to be bothered if we're sitting here on August 1st, there's no Knicks head coach?
Not at all.
No bother.
No bother at all.
What's the latest that a head coach has ever been hired?
Well, there's technicality to that because the Celtics were forced to fire Ime Udoka.
Right. That's right.
And that happened like late August, early September.
Yeah, that's right.
So I wouldn't count that because he was fired. Like there were circumstances. Right. That's a great question.
But they were fine, though.
Yeah, well, they promoted Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
And it was what it was. It's a very different scenario, though, to your point. Like, firing a coach, not having a head coach, and then hiring somebody, we're probably entering that kind of territory. We're probably relatively close. But you're telling me, Tommy, because you're going to lose me, and I've been a very big ally of yours with this Knick defense.
Yeah.
You're going to lose me on August 1st, probably earlier because I gave July 18th as my date. Are you going to fight this fight by yourself against the world? Because I don't think anybody will be on your side if we're in August and they don't have a head coach.
Wouldn't be the first time. I'll plant the flag there. I would say that the system's in place, and yes, you want to add a couple of role players to the bench, and I'm sure some of those fellows would like to know who the head coach is, but I'd like to know a lot of things sometimes, and I'm kept in the dark. So.
Who should run practices in camp if they don't have a head coach?
Brunson.
Brunson, yeah. Okay.
Both of them.
Well, that's the thing. Exactly.
let the
bees. You have a good veteran leader, and you have a coach who's been there for whatever.
Right. I have veteran leadership. Right. I have a guy on the bench that knows the system, so we're sitting and waiting, doing the due diligence. I'm cool with that.
Can you do me a favor, T?
Yes.
So I've got three down now. I'm looking for a fourth, and I'll make it official Twitter poll.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the dumbest ideas Tommy's ever had.
Okay.
Number one, obviously, presented to Pete yesterday, the lineup idea.
Greatest response ever.
Where Pete wanted to throw him in a trash can.
Hard no.
Hard no, as Pete said. We've got this, which is, I don't need a head coach till opening night.
Hard no.
Or 10 days before.
Or 10 days before. And the third one I have written down, which you may have forgotten, but this is legendary. This is legendary stuff.
I think I know the one you're talking about. Mm.
The Soto share plan.
Yes. Where the Mets and Yankees would both sign Juan Soto to a 15-year contract. They would share him throughout the season, 50-50 split. And we'd, you know, if it got to October, we'd go from there.
So there is another one, and I'm going to have to think about it. I'm going to rack my brain.
There's a fourth one?
Yes.
Go ahead. Is,
but I can't remember it. So I'm going to give me some time, and I'll come up
with it. Do you remember?
Sure wasn't DeVito related?
No, it wasn't.
That was more of an opinion than
an
idea.
That was an opinion. Yeah, it was something else, but it was football.
It was football related?
I just had to think of it.
Do you remember what Tiki is referring to, Tommy, since you're the brain with these amazing ideas?
No, no. Okay. Brain's always moving. I forget the ideas.
Those are the three I have written down, and I got to tell you, I still think it's a landslide. Like, as great as that lineup thing was when you presented it to Pete and his reaction yesterday, I still think it is going to be almost impossible to knock off the Soto share play.
Yeah. That was
like that's an all-timer.
That was an all-timer. Yeah. I mean, and look at where we are at. You know, look at all the hatred, which I like. But I mean, it would have all been, you know, fixed if we just would have shared Juan Soto, a custody of Juan Soto. You see it all the time.
Let him start with the Yankees, get hot, and then go over to the Mets
and
for
play
a couple,
for both teams
months.
During October. And if we get a Subway World Series, he alternates games.
Now that we're here. If that plan happened in real life, could we just go there for a second?
No.
Let's just go there where Tommy's plan happened in real life, and Soto was playing a game for the Mets. Would it be acceptable to wear a Soto Yankees jersey to that game?
Yeah, I think at that point all bets are off,
yeah,
Sean.
Okay.
That's... All right. Let's go to our friend Kendrick in Suffern. What's up, Kendrick?
What up, Kendrick?
Hey, guys. Yeah, so we did the other night, Evan. I do want to get to the Mets, but what I will say, in terms of the road to a championship. Last year, the Nova Knicks took claim to the Vatican. Well, after the draft, I'm going to say that the Tova Nets are on their way to the promised land. And I hope that these international stars can do some damage in the NBA. We'll see about that.
Look, the one thing we got going for ourselves is that I have no idea what Igor Damin and Nolan Traore are going to be at the next level. I mean, we saw a little bit of Drake Powell and Danny Wolf, but who the hell knows? It's just very tough to have any faith in this decrepit organization that we root for.
It definitely wasn't easy that night and the next day, but it is what it is. Now, with the Mets, there's two things I want to bring up. A few weeks ago, I called. I said I believe in Joe Kenley, and I was talking about Joe Adell and Kenley Jansen. And you guys said that Kenley Jansen wanted to be a closer, and now today you're talking about Aroldis Chapman, you know, being a closer role. You know, earlier in the season, Rafael Devers got a lot of slack for saying he didn't want to play first base. I never understood, and I get that the pitchers are very routine-oriented, but it would be like a field goal kicker saying, I'm only kicking from 45 for game winners, in the sense of you're a bullpen arm. Like, if you get traded for an arm, you pitch where the coach or the manager tells you to. Right. And I would just throw this out also. You know, Edwin Diaz, I don't want to look past this year, obviously, but he's not guaranteed to come back next year. I hope he comes back. But come playoff time and come just for the Mets to see – maybe Kenley or Chapman comes here.
I'll tell you
why. You get them for the cheap.
No, but I'll tell you what
the
difference is.
So you're just talking about having insurance. That's what he's talking about.
They're not the right guys to have insurance with. There are other guys. I'll tell you.
They're too old.
Well, also, they're not only too old. Here's what Kenley Jansen and Aroldis Chapman have done in free agency. They have purposely signed with teams that would allow them to close. So, obviously, it means a lot to them. Kenley Jansen had a chance to sign, I think, with the Mets. I think the Mets had an offer out for Kenley Jansen this past offseason, and he made a decision, which I completely respect, to say, hey, I have a lot of saves in my career.
Right.
I want to be a Hall of Famer. I want to save games. Now, I don't think Kenley Jansen's a bad guy. Like, if the Mets acquired him, would he come here and refuse to be a setup man? No way he would do that. But I am concerned about asking someone who's done something his entire career, even if he's willing to do it begrudgingly, to now do it and be successful. If you want insurance for Edwin Diaz leaving, then you trade for Emmanuel Clase if he becomes available.
Right.
A young guy under team control who's elite, who I think at this point is wanting to get paid, so will gladly do whatever the hell you want. I think Jansen and Chapman are just the wrong guys because both of them have gone out of their way in free agency over the last few years to go to places where they'll close. So asking that guy in the middle of a pennant race to now do something
to come to a place where you have a closer and he's not going anywhere this year. He's healthy and he looks great.
And you want this guy to be effective.
Yes.
Like, is he going to be effective when he's now in a role he's not used to? Like, you're risking a lot. And I'm just telling you, I'd rather not risk that. Especially with those two guys, because they've shown that before in their past, that they don't want to be a setup man. Right. Like, a guy like Emmanuel Clase, I'm using him as an example because I think it's possible the Guardians would sell him off. He's got, and it was going to cost a lot. And we can have that debate. Is it worth giving up what it's going to take to give up to get him? Very different animal. And that's insurance for Edwin Diaz. Because then Edwin Diaz opts out. You say, fine, Emmanuel Clase is the closer. I think he's just very, very different. And so when it comes to bullpen arms, which I think the Yankees are going to have to go after as well, I would be more in line to say, you know what? Let me take those lottery tickets. More than going big game hunting for veteran closers. What do you got, Sean?
Griffin Canning, the Mets have announced officially a left ruptured Achilles.
Kind of knew it was coming. Right. Sad news. Have they announced a timetable on something like that? Or is it just ruptured Achilles, whatever?
Ruptured Achilles. We don't have a timetable yet.
What's a timetable on something like that for a pitcher?
It depends. Are you Aaron Rodgers pitching or are you Kirk Cousins trying to come back? It's just one of those. I think it's probably 10 months. Maybe 12. Which one was it?
His left.
So that's his push leg. That'll make a difference. He's a righty. So
So that would be his plant leg then.
Right. That would be his plant leg. So probably less of an issue. You worry about the push leg. So either way, it's a long rehab.
It's a long road.
Painful rehab.
And he signed a one-year contract.
I know.
I'll make you a little prediction on what's going to happen here with the Mets. He's going to be a free agent. I think the Mets are going to sign him to what they call a one-plus-one deal, one-year deal with a team option on a second year. They will rehab him next year. If he comes back, fantastic. And if he doesn't, then they've got a team option on him for the following season. So I don't think we've seen the last of Griffin Canning as a New York Met. I would guess he's going to be back, but just horrible news for him. You know, we talk about the impact it had in last night's game, the impact it has in the Met rotation, which is significant, but you feel terrible for this kid.
Right.
Because he was really starting the pitch like a solid back-of-the-rotation major leaguer.
Right.
And it all went awry on such a weird play, man, because I'll tell you, it was a ground ball to third base. I see the play made, or shortstop, I forget which one, third base, I think. I look down at the score, and then I hear a gasp. I'm like, what the hell just happened? I look up and I see someone laying on the ground, and I hate to tell you what my first reaction was. My first reaction was, I hope that's not Pete.
Why would it be Pete?
Why would it be Griffin Canning? Yeah, like, think about it. I just watched a ground ball to third base. Like, why would it be anybody? So then I was like, oh, it's not Pete. And I was like, who the hell is that? I was like, oh, it's Griffin Canning. And I feel bad still, but yeah, you're looking around saying, who's on the ground? What the hell just happened? Let's go to Dan in Jefferson, New Jersey. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Evan, what's going on?
What's
How
up?
You doing? I just want to comment about the Canning injury last night. It is devastating. But I think that the Mets need to look inside. They got two guys or three guys in the minor leagues, Tong, McLean, and Tidwell, who pitched really good the last time he pitched. I don't know if anybody paid attention to that game and the Mets lost.
Well. No, he did. I mean, he wasn't able to go deep into the game, and unfortunately his pitching line doesn't look all that good, but I'm with you on giving a young guy a shot. Right. Jonah Tong's pitching at Double-A and his numbers are awesome. Are they willing? Is David Stearns willing to be aggressive and let a kid in Double-A make that jump and make a jump to the major leagues? I would. Nolan McClain's in Triple-A pitching. Well, I would love to see before the trade deadline one of these young guys come up, guys who've earned it, because both McClain and Tong are pitching well, Sprout isn't, and say, here's your shot.
Right. Let's
see what you got. It may only be one start.
Well, they've already made some moves here. Blade Tidwell's been recalled from AAA, Syracuse.
But I don't think that's to start. I think that's to probably pitch out of the bullpen because they need arms.
Right. Colin Poche?
Yeah.
He was selected to the major league roster, and then Vientos was reinstated, which we already knew.
So who's going down?
Austin Warren and Jared Young, option to AAA Syracuse following the game. Lev Lady was outrighted, and Azokar has been signed to a minor league contract.
No, they brought back Jose Azokar. Yeah. Let's have a party.
Right.
All right, so they put, obviously, Canning on the IL. They added two pitchers. Austin Warren, thank you for pitching 2 1/3 scoreless innings. Thank you, sir. You're gone. That's the way it works.
But this is what they have to do.
No, I know, I know,
what they're
going
to be doing for the next probably month or so.
I know, I know. There's a guy on hold who says the Yankee lineup tonight makes him mad. And I am looking at the New York Yankees lineup, and he has every right to be pissed off. So instead of me saying what I think he's going to say, I'm going to allow Jeff in the Bronx scream and yell about this because this is a freaking disgrace. Aaron Boone's got to get his head out of his ass. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm pissed. I'm like furious right now.
Go ahead.
Every time this kid, Dominguez, has a good game, Boone sits him. They had an off day. This guy has 4 hits in 1 game. They have an off day the next day. That's fine. Why is he sitting today? This kid has to develop. If you're not going to play him, send him to the damn AAA minor leagues. Let this kid develop. Give him a chance. Trent Grisham's starting to be here next year. What the hell's going on?
Right, especially against a team that's 17 games under 500.
He's 1,000% right.
100%.
Jason Dominguez, who sat one of the Cincinnati games, annoying enough, starts the finale of the series. He goes 4-for-5, and he's not in the lineup tonight against Mitch Spence and the A's. Explain that one to me.
Yeah, not only is he not in the lineup, he actually probably should be leading off tonight. Like, we should be starting to experiment with that because this has been going on for a good month now where Dominguez, you could just see watching him. And I understand, you know, it's a difference between left-handed and right-handed, but he's getting better every single week. He's contributing. Maybe the power's not there, but all of those tools, including his speed, are flashing. Give him confidence.
He's got to play.
He can both help you win, and you don't want to stunt his development.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had a 4-hit game. Like, I don't understand
What are you disincentivizing? Like, you're disincentivized. Like, there is no incentive. It's just kind of like, all right, we're just going to play you randomly.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
I don't like it. Now, to be fair, here's the Yankee lineup against Mitch Spence, who is a right-hander. Trent Grisham, Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, Giancarlo, Jazz, Goldie, Ben Rice, catching, Anthony Volpe at shortstop, DJ LeMahieu at second base. In fairness, we want Jason Dominguez to play. We all agree. Who's coming out of the lineup? That's your lineup. Who's coming out of the lineup? Sean, go ahead.
Because it's actually pretty tough.
Go ahead.
It is tough. You know what? Honestly, what I would do, you're going to call me crazy.
It's okay.
I think everybody takes a turn sitting. I have no problem versus the A sitting Judge for a night or DHing him and letting Stanton sit.
Little double off day action for Aaron Judge. Like,
but honestly, why not?
Right.
You know what I mean? If it's that important to keep playing Trent Grisham.
And then you put Bellinger in right field.
Right. Sitting Judge tonight doesn't mean you're sitting Judge 20 more times the rest of the year, but it's a game versus Sacramento on a Friday night. I'm fine with that.
You can't call them Sacramento because they're not Sacramento. Right. They're just the A's.
But that's my point. By the way, that's not my, oh, you obviously have to sit Aaron Judge. But if you're that pro, Grisham's got to play because he's hit as well lately, it's okay to give Judge a day off his feet.
Yeah, no. The answer isn't Aaron Judge, though.
Okay. No.
But is there an answer other than Cody Bellinger?
No, because the answer really is Trent Grisham, but also he's been playing well.
No, the answer is I think you've got basically the choices of everyone not named Aaron Judge, because unless you're really thinking he needs an off day, Trent Grisham, who is coming off a 4-hit game, so we're talking about the same thing, Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, but why does he get a chance to continue his run as opposed to Jason Dominguez?
You're absolutely right about that. That's very fair. And in Grisham's case, you could say, well, he's a veteran. It matters a little bit less
because to him. You can trust that he's going to be fine.
But by the way, my answer is Trent Grisham for the reasons that you're giving. So I agree with you, but there are a lot of ways you can go with this, but they're all difficult decisions. Trent Grisham, Cody Bellinger, who did not play the last game against Cincinnati. So if you don't play him, it'll be 3 straight days and not playing Cody Bellinger. Giancarlo, which you could also go with. No problem with that.
Put Judge at DH.
You could also go with Goldie. Goldie could sit because you could also shift Bellinger to first base and play Dominguez out there. So those are really your options. Ben Rice is catching, so he's not a part of the equation right now.
What makes it really difficult is that Grisham now has come back and played well again. But if we're being really objective and looking at the 4 Yankee outfielders they have, unfortunately for Trent Grisham, just because you're a veteran that's hit well, like, the Yankees need to develop Jason Dominguez.
You know, I do have an answer. I'm going to redo my answer. I've given this more thought over the last, 2 minutes as this come out. I think the guy I would sit is Giancarlo only because it's never a mistake to be cautious with Giancarlo.
You're right.
Like, he's the guy who's playing, makes the lineup better, especially against lefties.
Right.
But really, it's about can he stay healthy for the postseason. That's the whole goal of Giancarlo. So I don't need to play him every single day.
And he could be the weapon where when you find your spot for Volpe or LeMahieu to pinch hit later in the
game. Absolutely. Now, so can Dominguez. I mean, obviously, that's the beauty of having these guys off the bench. But the more I think about it, Grisham's hot. Keep playing him.
Yeah.
Cody don't want to sit too often. I think Giancarlo is like that. He's the luxury vehicle.
He is, but so he's also only played 8 games this year.
But that's okay.
I know it is okay.
You're taking it easy with
but
him.
But we're 81 games into the season. He's played 8, so you got to get a little bit
harder.
Okay.
I think if you pulled back, and I'm just looking at this from a Yankee fan point of view, there are two objectives to this Yankee season. Number one, finish the job you didn't do last year, win a World Series. And truthfully, number two for me is develop Jason Dominguez.
I agree. I think the development of Dominguez is
it's
more
the
important.
The most important guy.
So I think the default answer is anytime we're not sure, I'd say Giancarlo.
Well, hold on. We have a little bookkeeping we have to do here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have 6 King Aaron Judge mentions without the King. Two for Evan. And 4 for this big mouth, Sean, who this is your baby. This is your thing. This was your moment to win this. You just went 4 times without mentioning Aaron Judge.
That's solid
and
accounting right there.
You could say whatever you want about positive Tommy, but I stick to the character. On our show sheet that no one reads, I wrote King Aaron Judge on it as far as his all-star bid.
I got to be honest. Admittedly, I am not myself since Evan Dare had the goal for the team with the longest playoff drought in sports to say they were closer to a championship than anybody in this town. I've been thrown off. Take the money. You know what? I had 6-4.
6 total.
Well, Aaron Judge. Finished the 10 bucks. Here you go.
There you go.
Okay, so did he just say it 6 more times?
No, he said it 4 more times.
Okay, so 4 more times?
Yep.
All right, so here's what we got. Because I have a running tally, including 2 from yesterday that's on me. And I'm not challenging it. I went back to the audio. I did it twice. Where I refer to King Judge without the King name. Mm-hmm. So I've added this one to the tally. Here's what we have. And for those just tuning in, King Aaron Judge is now officially the King of New York City, as voted upon by the WFAN staff. And so one of the rules around here for the remainder of the summer is King Aaron Judge needs to be referred to as King Aaron Judge. And if not, $1 goes into the pot, and at the end of the summer, we'll do something with the money. Here's what I got right now. I owe $7. Sean owes $10. Mm. Tiki owes $2, and Lugie's at a single dollar. So right now, we've raised $20 for something.
Yeah.
And that's only a few days in.
You guys just aren't respecting the King. Yep. Aaron Judge, that is. This is like teaching my daughter her times tables. Tegan, we're trying to teach her times tables.
Yeah, very tricky.
It is very tricky.
Very tricky.
So every day, I ask her, it's 7 times 7, right? She's just like, 48? And today, she got it for the first time.
Nice.
Quickly. It's been like a week. It's like 7 times 7, 49. Like there. Now you'll never
when
get it wrong.
When do you think we're going to be?
And so this is kind of like that.
When are we going to be like her?
I don't
know. Never screw this
it's
up.
It's going to be like a month, I think.
You think a month?
And then you're going away for like 2 weeks. So you're going to come back and really be jacked up.
You're right. You just said that about him. And that's where I have it in my head. I have now officially set an alarm every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 2:21. So at least the show started. And it simply says, say King Aaron Judge.
That's good. That's smart. I'm proud of you for doing that. And good job, Tommy, for bookkeeping. So there you go. We're keeping track of the King Judge screw-ups. Jerry in Chester, New York. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
As you know how I am with Giancarlo Succo, as I call him. But I'd rather have Dominguez in the lineup because, like I said, I want to say, ask Tommy or one of the guys who does your stats, how many games has Giancarlo been since he's been back? He sat more games than he's played almost already. I'm like, he's the DH.
No, you're right.
Unless he has bad numbers against the guy who started that night, fine. Don't play him. He's Giancarlo Stanton, unless you think he's Giancarlo Hero or he's Giancarlo Stanton.
But the I disagree with you, and the reason I say that is for what we just talked about. Like, the Yankees have a surplus right now in the outfield, DH, even first base department, because you got 3 guys in Goldie and Ben Rice and Cody that can play the position. And I prioritize everyone else over Giancarlo because I know he's good.
Yeah.
Because I know he's fine.
And by the way, he's been back for 11 days. And he's played in 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back on the 16th. June 16th was his first game back. He had 2 hits the next day as well. And so he's only not played in 2 games.
Right, but you're talking about starting games. Like some of those games you just talked about, he actually came in off the bench and didn't start.
Yeah, the 18th, he didn't start.
But my point is,
the only one, actually.
But my point is, I disagree with our last caller. Like, I would treat him in a conservative way to make sure that if Jason Dominguez is hot like he is right now, I play him. Mm. Or if Cody Bellinger is hot, I play him. Giancarlo is my luxury vehicle, and I don't need to force it. So that's why I lean towards him. It's not saying he sucks. I think he's tremendous.
Yeah.
He's one of the main reasons they got to the World Series last year.
It looks like Giancarlo's getting 2 days and then a day off. just from the short stats.
The trend.
That's the trend.
Well,
two days and a day off.
Well, that's what it could have been today if they sat him for Jason Dominguez.
But they had the day off yesterday.
Well, then that would have been 3 days and a day off.
I'm so scared to utter these words, but I'm going to let it rip because I am serious.
Go ahead.
We have gone through all these ways of getting people in the lineup. Isn't Trent Grisham such a slick fielder that maybe, just maybe, we could see in pregame warmups the next couple of weeks if he can handle some second base?
Oh, my God.
You played J.C. Ascara at third base. I mean, how bad could it be? I only say him
Has
because...
Has he ever played?
No. And that's why I know it sounds crazy, but he's also such a good outfielder that everybody will go, well, that's why you don't take him out of the outfield. I look at it the other way. He's such a good athlete running around there that he actually looks like a guy who could probably service a...
Do you remember the 2019 field. National League Wild Card game? If you don't, totally okay.
I don't.
So the Nationals played the Brewers in the Wild Card game, and as soon as he brought up Trent Grisham playing at second base, I thought of a very key play in that game. There was a base hit to right field. Grisham was the right fielder for the Brewers, and he overran the ball and went right past them. It was one of the like, worst errors in a playoff game.
On the ground.
Yeah, on the ground. So I'm thinking of like ground balls to second base going past them. I don't think it's an option, Sean. Nice try, though.
I know it's not. I'm trying to find a way for all these guys to play because second base is the hole on this team, and he's the best, in my opinion, fielding athlete.
Look, here's what we agree with. When Jason Dominguez is coming off a four-hit game, he best play.